Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Gazelle, the easy way to sell or recycle your used electronic gadgets from home or office. Don't just sell it, Gazelle it. Gazelle your used gadgets today at Gazelle.com. And by Ford, featuring all-electric and hybrid electric technologies. Learn more about the technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at Ford.com/technology.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 42, live from CES 2012, everybody. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Nicole Lee.
And we have the Apple Bomb with us.
Hello.
Hey.
They stole me off the show floor.
We did. You ran up. Thank you for coming over here. We asked late last night. We're like, hey, you have no idea what we're going to talk about. You're just here.
But you know what? I don't even have a laptop.
We don't really know what we're talking about. We're going to wing this show.
I'm ready to wing it.
Let's wing it, everybody.
We have a lot of great things to show you from CES. This is really going to be all about hardware today. There's no arena.
All hardware.
Talking about hardware is the news.
It's almost impossible to avoid.
Yeah, exactly. We've been so busy trying to see stuff on the show floor, trying to get stuff for you. And, you know, one of the biggest items or companies that a lot of our faithful viewers and listeners have been asking for is Asus. And guess what? We finally got to touch. Mm. We not only got to touch the Asus, we have the Prime.
The Prime.
We have the Prime here.
Ah.
And now I don't know how to turn it on. Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Am I supposed to do
Yeah, it's too
like
bad
that?
We don't have a product
do you,
shot.
Do you want me to bring it over to my end?
Why don't you do that?
Did we not learn the unlock code?
I don't know the unlock code. Is there an unlock code here? We've got the NVIDIA guy who gave us... You want to come around here? It's locked.
We spent 5 minutes with it, and it's already broken.
So people are saying that they think I look like I've gotten a lot of sun. Okay. So we're going to show you the Asus EPAD Transformer Prime, which has ice cream sandwich on it.
Yes.
And Nicole, why don't you do some graceful... There you see it now, possibly. We're going to get a little product shot.
Okay, great.
And there you go. It looks a lot like ice cream sandwich, because it is, and there's a bunch of folders there. They want to show a lot of the responsiveness of the device. And then if you go into apps, and just go changing from page to page. I don't know how many apps they actually have on it. If you go just slide a little bit more, you'll find the widgets. And Jason is going to play a little bit of video.
I got to play a game.
Okay, so you got to get out of here. If you hit the multitask bar, Nicole.
Yeah, sorry. I can't.
I know, it's hard backwards.
You can't do it backwards.
This is hard backwards, by the way.
We don't have product shots.
It's not very easy.
This is the best show ever.
All right, so supposedly I should be able to use this PlayStation 3 controller to play Shadow Gun.
There you go.
All right, so we'll go ahead and we'll... go over to resume here.
So he's using a PlayStation controller to play a game.
Say okay.
On an ice cream sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Up here.
Dang it. It was supposed to be so easy. Multitask, Shadow Gun.
And let's just be said, this has nothing to do with the hardware, why this is failing. This is us.
Yeah.
It's totally us.
There we go. Okay.
We've literally, it came up on the stage 2 minutes before.
X. I'm hitting X. Resume.
This is up here.
Right trigger.
There you go.
Now Whoa. Jason's playing.
As you can tell, this is actually the first time I've tried to play this. So I didn't actually know how to do that.
Okay, so now that we've seen it for a few minutes, I actually got to see it 2 nights ago at the Digital Experience, but I didn't see it with ICS. This is the first time I've seen it with the ice cream sandwich. First of all,
I was killed. I'm so bad.
Oh, you're so dead, Jason. Taking it out of the dock is really easy. Typing with it is really easy. It's really not that heavy. This is the 10-inch screen. This is a fantastic product. It, just like everybody has been raving about Asus for a long time, I am quite happy. I get it. I get it. Have you seen an Asus before?
The Asus tablet? Yeah, I've seen that tablet. It's fantastic.
It's nice. It's slim. It's
light. I like the form factor, how it's tapered out. So it's got some weight to it.
And I really feel like
it's solid
with the Prime, they really understand, they get it when it comes to the attachment of the bottom keyboard. That keyboard feels nice to use.
Yeah. It's a good, I mean, you're absolutely right. I think it's a good keyboard, it's a good mouse, and I think the whole experience is really well thought through.
Yeah. You know, Tom and I were thinking about pre-ordering.
Really?
Just seeing this.
Oh, really?
They're already sold out in pre-order.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Nicole, thoughts as you're sticking
trying
to do everything backwards.
You know, it's amazing. The size of it is really nice, I think. And then, you know, combined with this, like, why would you need an Ultrabook? How much is it? It's pretty affordable, right? Compared to
No, I think it's like $499.
Right, but an Ultrabook.
Is that $499 with the keyboard or without?
Right.
Or is it an Atrix? So it's a $200 phone with a $700 keyboard or something.
Well, the 32 gig 10.1 I see here for $699.
That's not
right.
Bad.
And another $232.
But Ultrabook is easily $1,500.
What is the keyboard? Does the keyboard give you any hardware, or is it just a keyboard?
It seems to me like it's just the keyboard.
Okay. Yeah. Keyboard, mouse, and a USB port.
A keyboard, there's a trackpad on it.
Is it the dock connector is a micro USB, is it not? Or is it a proprietary connector?
Take a look?
Hold on a second.
We're just learning about the lovely Prime right now.
I don't know if we have that good internet connection right now, which we don't.
We probably don't have it synced to
so unfortunately,
our Wi-Fi
I can't really
as
show
well.
You
USB port, multi-touch pad, SD card reader.
Okay, so there is a bit of stuff in there.
1.2 pounds.
It's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
It's got a gorgeous screen.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know.
Is this the first ICS tablet we've seen?
There are several. This is one of them, definitely. There's also one from Lenovo called the Idea Tab S2, I think. There's a Sony one, I think. So, I mean, there are a few out, I think.
So the chat room's saying it's $499 plus $150 for the dock.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, then whatever I saw was incredibly inflated on Amazon just now. Okay, well, that's not too bad.
Oh, the keyboard has a battery.
Yeah, right, excellent. It has a battery that you can kind of extend the life with.
$150 for a keyboard battery is not bad.
That's not bad, yeah.
Yeah, it really seems like these tablets, especially the Android tablets, obviously, they're falling into two really big categories. They're falling into, like, the low-cost, you know, $150, $200, $250 range. And, you know, it's very affordable, but maybe not as solid build quality or feature-rich. And then these, which, obviously, you're ponying up a little bit more for this. Mm-hmm. But I get the feeling that kind of the Asus line of tablets really appeals to the Android enthusiast, the
Absolutely.
Person that really cares about the you know, the Android experience, in a way that maybe, you know, mom and pop aren't going to know why they need to get the Transformer Prime versus something like a Kindle or you know what I mean? They're going to find more value in the lower cost tablets that bring a little bit more with the ecosystem than they do necessarily with just hardware that's really beautiful and really sings.
I just saw a few comments saying that they're going to trade up from the iPad. So that's
That is a trade up. I really think that you know, Android this time last year, we were seeing really cool tablets, we were seeing some hardware, but I think this year it's really polished. I think Ice Cream Sandwich, but the hardware itself
is
a lot further.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Now, Asus also mentioned here, we don't have it with us. I wish that we did at NVIDIA's kind of event, is their 7-inch tablet with 4 cores for a Magic. They're targeting $250.
Yeah.
That kind of seems to straddle the line there, where it's kind of like it's hitting that magical lower price point, but bringing a little bit of extra power with it.
Yeah, because
I think the price point directly ties to the screen size, though.
Right.
Yeah.
I think 250 is a good spot for 7, but I think you're going to end up with a cheap 10-inch tablet at that point.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think we have to give back the actual.
Okay, sure.
Aww.
I know.
Everyone,
bye.
Wave goodbye.
Bye, Prime.
Bye, bye.
Bye, Prime.
I will see you soon in my house.
Are you going to get one?
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I already pre-ordered one a while ago.
Okay,
bye,
well
Prime.
There you go.
Or whenever it was available to pre-order.
Thank you, Asus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Asus.
NVIDIA.
Thank you, NVIDIA.
Well, thank you both of you.
Thank you both.
You're both great.
They're both amazing.
All right.
I'll take you out to dinner. Sure.
I'm still waving at it.
Are we going to buy it or date it?
Goodbye.
I don't know. That's a really good question. I went looking. I really went looking all afternoon for about an hour solid for the Asus location. I could not find it because I wanted to see if I could, see the 7-inch. But I don't even think the Asus booth would have it. I think we'd be more likely to have it at the NVIDIA booth.
Speaking of 7-inch.
What do you have there?
This is probably... I don't know if I'm more in love.
This is the first ever Super AMOLED Plus tablet.
I don't know if I'm more in love with this device because I saw it the other night. This is the Samsung Galaxy 7.7. It is light. It feels right in your hand. It's Samsung.
It's so AMOLED Plus.
It's like, an AMOLED
like,
Plus
it's
screen.
So
for a more objective view.
No.
It's running really fast on Verizon. No, seriously, it's one of those moments where I'm just like, wait a minute. I held this. I start playing around with it a little bit. I don't know. Okay, Jeff,
that's a really big phone.
It's not a phone. It's not a phone. It's a tablet.
It's on Verizon.
But there's no phone.
Are you sure?
Well, it's like the iPad.
It's a tablet. It's a tablet.
It's 7.7-inch tablet. Okay. This has connectivity.
Yeah.
You know?
I've seen that. No, I don't dislike it at all. I think it's a great device. I just don't like 7-inch anything. I have big hands on 7-inch devices. It doesn't work. Like, I can barely type on this thing. I don't need something that is almost 10 inches.
Okay. Well, I love this. Can I touch it?
Yes, you can touch it.
It is. It's just
I'm
a mini.
I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a little different than the other Galaxy Tabs. It's got the brushed metal on the back.
It's very thin. I think the industrial design is definitely there.
Absolutely. I think it's got a gorgeous display.
Oh, yeah, the display is amazing.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Is it running TouchWiz?
Very saturated.
No, it's not TouchWiz.
It has its own version of something on it, yeah.
It looks very similar to the 10-1 that we've had. Did you want
it? It looks great, though.
I want to give it to Jason to see if he has my
moment. I was playing around with this earlier.
Maybe I am warming up to this. As it gets closer, it's starting to look better.
Okay, well, let's hand it to Applebaum whenever you're done,
Jason. No, you can finish.
Okay, I want to try and type on this thing a little bit.
There's something about it. It's thin. It just feels like it'll fit in my... Well, in a girl's perspective, a purse better.
Yeah.
You've been hanging on to the...
A Zyborg. I don't have it with me, but...
all week, and it's about the same size.
It's about the same size, and I love it because... When doing Google Docs especially, you want to see a huge spreadsheet. Like a small, tiny little phone, you can just see like a small, like two columns and like five rows, you know? Mm-hmm. Whereas a Zyborg or something like this, you get the full 7-inch, but it's not as big as the 10-inch, so it's more portable than a 10-inch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's in between.
Absolutely. I actually really do like this size. The 10.1, it's nice to have because it's the first Android tablet that I've had. It's the first tablet anything that I've had, but I don't use it as much because I just don't find 10.1 to be as portable as something that like this is very easy to just slip in there. I guess the 10.1 is portable in its own way, but it's still kind of just too big. Although I will say, typing on this, I wasn't very accurate. So you got that, Jason.
All right.
And that's the thing, with the 10. Devices that are 10.1, like the Prime, I like watching media on that. Yeah. It's bigger, so when I'm launching Netflix, I'm watching, Amazon, whatever, it's better on a bigger screen. Here, it's just, if I'm doing a little bit more productivity work or,
I think it's good for ebooks, too, or magazines,
reading, I think using my Nook a lot more often than the Tab. Than the iPad. It's just for reading.
Yeah,
and that's what I think this is really good for. Jason Applebaum, any new...
He's sort of nodding his head.
So this screen is incredible. The resolution on this screen is insane. I've never seen text...
1280 by 800.
Is it?
1280 by 800.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never seen text this small on this form factor device. I really do like the device. I personally don't think I could ever use it because it's just not, it doesn't fall into a device that's big enough for me to really, because I like screen size with that kind of resolution, because it kind of falls into this in-between area between a really big phone and then a 10-inch tablet. Mm-hmm. And I don't have, a purse that I carry around where this would fit into perfectly.
You don't have a MERS?
I don't have a MERS. and if I'm going to carry around a tablet, I'm just going to go to a 10-inch because I just don't care about size at that point. Because if I have a laptop bag with me. But anyway, I really like how snappy it is. I think it's got, like I said, I can't get over the screen. The keyboard's pretty good. Yeah.
What do you think of the TouchWiz? It's TouchWiz UX.
I hate TouchWiz. All things that aren't all user
all things
experiences
that aren't stock.
are insanely infuriating.
I normally agree, and I don't care so much for TouchWiz on a phone, but I don't mind it on the tablet.
Haven't noticed that this is TouchWiz, so that they've done something right that I haven't been complaining about this user interface.
Yeah.
So as long as it doesn't get in my way like other ones, mm-hmm. like this doesn't get in my way, I wouldn't mind having this on a phone or a tablet as it stands right here. It's great. I mean, it's a fast device. It falls in this weird category that if you want a 7-inch tablet, this is by far the best 7-inch tablet I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. The display itself makes it worth it. Yeah.
Yep.
This is insane. Like,
and
I don't
it's super
know if
thin,
you...
super light.
Oh, Brent, I guess he's showing it off a little bit.
hold on. The pictures is what did it.
Yeah?
Hold on. Where's the stock? There's got to be a stock picture on here that isn't terrible. I mean,
Jason Applebaum.
Sorry, I'm really negative. It's been a long 2 days.
Every time I'm on a show with you, Mr. Negativity comes well, in the town.
It's amazing. It's the best thing ever. No, I.
Well, I mean, it's
he's looking for a photo.
It's pretty powerful. 1.4 gigahertz dual core processor, so you get fast multitasking, good web page loading. Hopefully, right? And the UI transition looks great.
I think so too.
Mm-hmm.
He's
cool.
trying to pull up a photo, and that's
it's a TouchWiz UX. It says
right.
Yeah.
So what other? So that's one thing that I've noticed. Like I was walking around for a couple of hours, and we've been to a lot of events the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. Digital Experience, mm-hmm. CES Unveiled, and the last night Showstoppers, and it really seems like themes of the show that I've noticed in large quantities are tablets. Still, mm-hmm. tablets this year, but there's so many Android tablets, of course. And they're all, like, there's so many low-range tablets, and they sound, $160 for a tablet may sound great on paper, but you're always wondering, like, how good actually is it? And then you pick it up, like, actually, who was it? It was ViewSonic. ViewSonic had a 170 tablet. I think it's ViewSonic 170. And I think it's somewhere around there. It's like $160, $170 actually. And went by to check it out, and yeah, no. Like I realize $170 is an inexpensive device, and it's appealing to somebody. And I guess it would be feasible. It would be doable in some circumstances. But you really get it when you pick it up and you start playing with these things, how unresponsive they are, how the pixel density on the display is just really poor. Mind you, it was running Ice Cream Sandwich, but that still didn't seem to help it a whole lot. not with my experience.
It was running Ice Cream Sandwich and it had those buttons on the device?
Yes.
Well, that was a last-minute decision.
Well, yes, and so you see a lot of tablets, obviously. Not all of them are running Ice Cream Sandwich, but I've seen a lot of the low-market manufacturers bringing these tablets that do have those buttons and are running Ice Cream Sandwich, and they're really, like, slamming it and saying, but we've got Ice Cream Sandwich on here. We've got Ice Cream Sandwich. Ice Cream Sandwich is great, but if the hardware isn't so great, then it kind of doesn't matter as much.
It does make me wonder if the only way to have a really affordable and successful Android tablet is to be like Amazon, is to be like a Nook, is to
have an ecosystem
behind it so that you can make it cheaper. So because
you can offload the cost.
Yes, cheaper through subsidy, actually cheaper.
I think
based on the service itself.
If you make it too cheap, you end up, it's kind of...
And that's where carrier-subsidized tablets really come in, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fact that this is a Verizon tablet. So what is this, a $200 tablet or is this a $500 tablet?
I don't think it's been
announced
yet.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's actually, playing with this tablet, I do really like this tablet.
Okay,
the Galaxy Tab 7.
Well, what? Hold on. There's one downside to it, and it has nothing to do with the hardware or software, or nothing to do with the front-facing hardware, I should say, is this port. It's the 30-pin, it's their upside-down Apple connector. Their 30-pin connector. I just don't like 30-pin connectors because they're...
Can you show the port really
quick? Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the fact that it has a 30-pin connector means that you have to carry proprietary cables around with you as opposed to just micro USB, which everyone has.
Yeah.
Which is what we do for the 10.1 Galaxy Tab. I mean, they just...
Yeah,
yeah,
it's true.
It's the same one, yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on. I got to give this back to Nicole because I think it's got to go away.
These things have such a short life on this stage. It's okay. You'll see it soon, Eileen.
I'm sure you'll be
You'll
missed.
Be reunited, and it will feel so good.
This is real sadness going on here. This is a real goodbye moment.
I think I heard some violins playing in the background.
Too. Yeah, absolutely. Maybe they were a lot smaller than that, but yeah.
And Nicole's saying goodbye to it, too, now.
Oh, everybody's a little sad.
Okay, and now That's we hand it off.
And now it disappears. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, other tablets. Let's see here. Toshiba Excite. I didn't get a chance to see this.
We looked at it at the Digital Experience the other night, right, Nicole?
Yep.
This is the new Toshiba tablet after the Thrive. Mm-hmm. The Excite is 1280 by 800. There's a 16 gig model and a 32 gig model. Now check around the aluminum side casing there. There's some of the ports. It's going to ship with Ice Cream Sandwich, I believe, when it
comes
out. It says
3.2. Ship. It'll also ship with... No, I see. It'll ship with Android 3.2, though it's Ice Cream Sandwich ready.
Yes.
By the way, just real quick, I love the trend of saying upgradable to Ice Cream Sandwich. That makes it sound like it's an option that you can just do right then and there instead of them admitting the fact that it's not launching with Ice Cream Sandwich and you're going to have to wait for it.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious that they pitch it that way, but anyways.
I've actually gotten hands-on time with that as well.
Oh, you did? And what did you think? They're saying there's anti-smudge coating, and it's 7.7 millimeters thick.
I'm
I
seeing
don't know
some smudges
that.
On that video.
I think I've made it pretty clear that I really hate heavy tablets, but I love that tablet.
Okay.
Was it heavy?
No,
it
is. It's not heavy.
I mean, heavy compared to... What's our basis here?
The Zoom.
Oh, yeah. No, it's feather compared to the Zoom.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Or the Thrive. I think it is heavier than say, the 10.1, the Tab 10.1, which has been one of the lightest tablets.
Yeah, that was a pretty light one.
And I usually knock them for that, but I actually really like the sort of chunky form factor, if you will, because it's got thick edges, but it's got a really sleek back, and I think it looks really good.
Let's see
and
here.
We'll just a little plug for my show. We'll have a little demo of the Toshiba Excite 10 tomorrow on Before You Buy.
There you go.
Nice. And that's starting at $530. Did we mention the price? $530 for the 16 gig model, $600 for 32.
Is it a Q2 or is it...
I think it's Q1.
Q1. Okay, cool.
End of Q1. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, not
But
bad.
Then, you know, the Droid Bionic... That was a end of
that
Q1
was a Q
as well.
End of Q1.
That's one of those.
So you never know.
It looked ready
something.
To me. Yeah. I didn't see anything.
I ranted so much about that phone.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, the Bionic.
Other tablets. Oh, there was the OLPC tablet, which was yet another one that I didn't actually I was producing. Was that the first night CES unveiled? So I was producing CES unveiled, so I didn't actually get to play with it. But I was there with the crew. We looked at it. It has the hand crank to charge it. It's a removable hand crank so that it won't break.
There's a solar panel, I think, as well.
There's a solar panel on the back of the covers. I think
we're
actually seeing it.
Running Android and Sugar.
Yes.
Which is a Linux-based OS. And, you know, they want $100, right?
Yeah.
That's
$100 for the low end.
That's
sort of a Pixel QI display and a sort of a regular LCD display. And I think the Pixel QI one is probably a little bit more expensive. Pixel Key?
I think it's a very cool innovation. I got a chance to play with that one as well.
There was too many people crowding around the tables on both events.
And
then it came to the stage, but then they had to take it away really quick. So what were your impressions?
I mean, I think you really kind of said it all, but it's very cool. It feels decent in your hand.
Now if you're watching the video.
It feels decent in your hand. I mean, yes, it's a $100 tablet. I mean, it feels like a $100 tablet. Let's not.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
But I mean, it's meant for developing nations.
Right.
Totally. It's not a miracle tablet. It isn't this of the quality of what we were just looking at. But here's the thing: it's a $100 tablet, and it's a very, very good tablet. I don't feel like they compromised on any of sort of not so much performance but capabilities.
Yeah.
For example, I was kind of afraid that they would go for a resistive touchscreen or something kind of.
Oh yeah.
Really hard to drag your finger across.
That's a way for that whole OLPC thing to die.
But
in
then
its
tracks. It was capacitive and it was kind of felt pretty good. So
I think it was a 2-point capacitive.
Yeah, I'm pretty hopeful about it. Yeah.
I could be wrong. It may be a 5-point, but I believe it was a 2-point.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we still don't know if they are going to hit the $100 price point.
We'll
that still remains to be seen. We certainly hope so. I think with the OLPC, the non-tablet, the actual one, they targeted $100 and they weren't able to necessarily get it out at that cost in the end. But this is just a fantastic, tablet for the price.
And,
I wish them well with that. It was pretty impressive to look at. I love the hand crank idea. I love the fact that you can charge it. You don't need to plug it in. That's just so fantastic.
Yeah.
We already talked about the ViewSonic. Lenovo IdeaTab S2.
All right, this is something that we saw on the show floor of, I think it was CES Unveiled.
Yeah, it was CES Unveiled, and we also saw it at Digital Experience.
And did you get a chance to handle this, Nicole?
Yeah, so this is, it's very similar to the Asus in the fact that, it's very similar to the Asus in the fact that, you know, you can sort of take it out of the keyboard if you want to. And it runs Ice Cream Sandwich, as you can see there. It sort of has different, you can take it out of the keyboard and you just play around with it. And it does have Ice Cream Sandwich. So, I mean, it does look pretty good. It's 1.5 gigahertz dual core Snapdragon. Pretty snappy from what I've seen. Again, you know, very briefly I saw it. So, looks good to me. Very similar to Transformer.
I know. You guys have to understand we're spending literally like 3 minutes with these.
Oh, it's 3 minutes per product. So it's not a full
products,
review.
I know. I wish we could give you guys full reviews, but we have to spend more time with it.
Yeah.
But
we're giving a preview of everything we've heard of.
Yeah.
And admittedly, not we're giving you a preview of everything that we've heard of that we wrote down. We've probably heard of things that didn't make it to the doc that we're not going to talk about that later you're going to be like, yeah, how could you have missed that? And we've probably not heard of things that you've heard of that we aren't going to talk about.
There's a
we
lot
did
of
our
stuff
best
here. And it's really hard to cover everything.
It's there've been a there just has been a lot of Android.
Yeah.
And
it's been
I've just
raining
been really,
Android.
It's raining droids.
Yeah, now before the show we were talking about you were talking about car connectors and things like that. We haven't even seen none of that's in our doc right now, but I did see something on the floor. LG had a car connector dock, and you like something from Cobra, right?
Cobra. Well, the Cobra one is definitely one of the most innovative ones. Then there's Samsung had some stuff, bunch of Bluetooth stuff, not much cable stuff as far as Android accessories.
Yeah.
However, Cobra. If we're going to talk about it now, the Cobra one is it's interesting. So what they did was they used the Android Open Accessory platform to bring a product to market, which they're the first official announced. Android accessory product, which is kind of what they announced at I/O last year, was the AOO or Android Open Accessory platform.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, what it is you can plug your phone into this device. Not all phones; it's 2, 3, 4 and up. If the manufacturer of your telephone has not stripped it out of your phone, you can plug it in and you get extra features out of your car dock. So the Cobra car dock has, you know, some features of being able to map off the radar. Cobra is a radar detecting company, and they've got buttons and color. You can change colors, and there's a couple other options to make it easier to use your phone in the your Android phone in the car while it's charging.
Excellent. You know, I feel like we're still waiting to see in-car Android syncing in the way that you can do it in, you know, to great lengths with iOS, right?
Absolutely.
And that's just because I think you and I had this conversation a while back. Just the lack of a real proprietary standard on the side of Android phones versus iOS that totally has the proprietary standards but allows them to do so much more with syncing with
because
these head units and stuff.
They can just give one standard. All the cars. This is it.
I know.
Yeah.
It's never
all
that easy,
phones.
Is it?
Well, it's not even... It's forget cars. Let's talk about docks, anything. It doesn't matter.
Speaker docks.
No, exactly. Exactly.
Totally.
Hey, let's take a quick break first before we continue and thank one of our sponsors today. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring all electric and hybrid electric technologies. Two new vehicles Ford is bringing to electric technologies. There's the 2012 Ford Focus Electric and the 2013 C-Max Energy Plug-in Hybrid. Both of those models make use of a regenerative braking system that captures about 90% of kinetic energy lost in conventional engines and reuses that friction to the battery. The system sends that energy to the battery pack for later use and includes Also, just a whole host of the other things that you're used to seeing in these Ford cars, like Sync with My Ford Touch EV features that help you maximize your range, but do all sorts of other cool stuff that, that Sync provides. Suite of driver information systems, onboard, offboard, that allow you to just monitor the whole system, manage the recharge process, determine the most eco-friendly driving route for where you're going. It's very smart stuff. Remotely control vehicle charge, preconditioning settings, monitor the battery state of charge, all that kind of stuff. It's all in the onboard computer, and you can monitor that and use it effectively once you get to know it a little bit better. My Ford Mobile has a smartphone app, so you can do all these things from your phone. You can access your vehicle status, like the state of charge, the current range, program charge settings, and download that vehicle data for analysis if you want to get technical and geeky with it a little bit later. There's a 2012 Ford Focus electric, as I said. It's an all-electric vehicle without a gasoline engine. So it fully charges in 3 to 4 hours through a 240-volt home charging station. That sounds pretty nifty. Leviton charging stations recommended by Ford are available through your dealer. It's 100% electric, zero CO2 emissions, has a lithium-ion battery, and new battery technology enables a topping-off charge without reducing the lifespan of the battery. So availability, let's see here. 2012 Ford Focus Electric, available for reservations now. And the 2013 Ford C-Max Energy Plug-in Hybrid is coming fall 2013. Specs are subject to change, of course, with production vehicle. But you can learn more about all this stuff, the electric technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at Ford.com/technology. We thank them so much for sponsoring all
thank
of our CES
for.
Coverage here at CES 2012.
They have a pretty fancy booth, too, in the North Hall. I went over there the other day.
There are cars everywhere in that booth.
Oh, I know. Well, you would think.
Yeah, I mean, you think, hold on.
You'd hope
yeah,
so.
I say that, but there are cars everywhere. Everywhere you turn, there are cars. Anyway.
Were you expecting something else?
I don't know.
Were
you expecting
stick figures? We're in a building. How often do you see, like, 50 cars in a building?
So go check that out. So let's move on to phones, because I know that we have some phones here that
yes,
might need
do.
To walk away at some point also, right?
Possibly.
So we might as well get to those.
They're all Motorola phones that I have here right now.
Motorola. What do we got, Nicole?
All right. So we have... All right. Let me turn this on right here. So this is the Droid Razer Max.
The Razer M-A-X-X.
M-A-X-X. And from what I understand, it's basically the same as the Droid Razer, which I also have right here. Is the Droid Razer.
And that's the new Droid Razer in purple.
It's the new purple version of the Droid. Mm-hmm. You can see that. It's the purple Droid Razer.
Right.
So this is the Droid Razer with a big battery.
Yeah. So
check that out.
What you end up with is no chin. None of the Moto chin that you're used to seeing.
It's just battery. Big battery.
Yeah. Not even Moto cleft?
there might be a little bump there.
Sure, I guess.
Though, I can't tell from here.
I mean, they're not that big. Well, here's I have a question.
Compared to
do they run ice cream sandwich?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
No longer relevant. Next.
Oh, that's not so nice.
I'm sorry.
The Motorola fans on the show are like, that Apple bomb.
I know, right? I'm just making all sorts of enemies. No, it looks cool. I played with that one, too. I actually just played with that one. I like it.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm looking. I want to look at the Max here. Do you guys want to see the purple?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm from previous episode and from Before You Buy, I think, coming up, my review of the Motorola Razor, Droid Razor. I really enjoyed it. The purple color. Maybe not for me, although I already have a purple phone.
I love the purple.
Apparently. The HTC Rhyme, right?
So you love this purple. Do you love the HTC Rhyme purple?
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
I
okay.
like it.
All right. Yeah. See? Yeah. Purple, not my first choice. But there's nothing different with this other than the color. The difference will be once the Max comes out, the big battery, it's what, 3,300 milliamps, I believe, in the battery?
Yeah, I believe so. Let me
Did you
look
say
at
3,300
this.
Something around there.
So this
That's
is
what I was told earlier.
Day.
That's amazing.
They say that it's the best battery in an Android phone right now. When this releases, which they don't have a release date for yet,
not yet.
It will be 300, so it'll be the 299 that you're used to seeing on the higher end Verizon LTE phones. And the Razer, the regular Droid Razer, is going to drop down to 199. But there is no release date yet, so we don't know exactly when that's going to happen. My guess would be sometime in the next couple of months.
Okay. This is pretty
so,
nice.
So cool. This is the other Motorola phone that has been announced. This is the Motorola Droid 4.
Oh.
And this is the one that has the keyboard. So for the fans that have that like their keyboards, you get the keyboard this time around.
I like it.
And, you know, it's like the Droid. It's very similar to the Droid 3. You know, the keyboard styling is very similar. But, you know, it's the Droid 4, so it's 4G LTE.
Yeah.
You know, it has, let's see, 8 megapixel rear camera. And I'm sort of looking through the specs right here. Can't see them all. But, you know, it's very similar to the Droid 3, but, you know, it has sort of upgraded specs, essentially.
Yeah, and the keyboard, I don't know with the Droid 3, but I know on this one it's a backlit keyboard, which
is
nice.
It's a backlit
actually.
Keyboard.
It's very nice.
I don't know if you can
very
see it on camera. But
are the numbers at the top? Oh, they are.
Yeah, the numbers are there.
Very roomy.
That's great.
Very tactile.
Mm-hmm. And it has, it has that kind of, you know, Motorola is really unifying their devices right now with that kind of etched Photon. I think they started it with the Photon where it's kind of goes in at the top and at the bottom. They're all, you know, regardless of carrier, all of their devices are kind of following this form factor. I actually think that's great. It kind of gives it a little bit more personality.
Absolutely.
It gives them some sort of a differentiating quality to their phones. And they don't all just look like everything else.
Yeah, the usual dual core processor and all of that. So, I mean, I think if you're a Motorola fan, if you especially love that keyboard, I know our own Dr. Kiki, like, she loves the keyboard.
Maybe she has the Droid 3, too.
Oh,
so
she would love the Droid 4.
Maybe she might want to upgrade to Droid 4. Dude, the Max is pretty cool. I'm not... I love the back, the feel
fiber.
Of this. Yeah, absolutely. Here, have a whole... I'm
right.
actually very impressed.
What don't you like about it, Jason?
Here comes the negative.
Have,
comes
I, really, the have I really made a name for myself
kill.
On things I don't
what
like?
What do I complain about?
No, one thing that I find interesting about this, and I wonder if Motorola is going to do this again. I mentioned it to the guy at the Motorola booth, and he was very quiet in his response. He didn't say anything to it. It's just the fact that, okay, so the Droid Razor's non-removable battery. So, you know, either that was by design, either they truly couldn't do it because the slim form factor required them to not have a removable battery, which I actually believe. But
oh,
I think
absolutely.
It's also very nice that instead of allowing someone to, you know, who really does want the extra battery to buy a greater battery 3 months later, instead they buy a greater phone and give them a lot more money for the upgrade to the phone.
I do have to say, I mean, that's a good option, right?
It's better than not having the option.
It's better than not having it. That's true.
I don't know if it's actually solving a problem or creating a problem.
Creating a problem, yeah.
But it does have a little bit of a cleft to it.
A little bit.
A little bit of a cleft.
Very, very slight.
It doesn't bug me.
Is it really called?
No, it doesn't bother me at all. I just was pointing it out. It's a good phone.
Okay. Motorola in the past, we've dogged it for camera, shutter speed, both very fast. Right now,
just
a couple pictures with.
I mean, this is great.
Once you lock, that's one thing I really noticed about the Razr that I liked about the camera a lot is once you lock the autofocus, it might take you a couple of seconds to get the autofocus locked, but once it's there, you can take them pretty fast.
Yeah,
and
really
I love that.
The autofocus, the autofocus is a little slow, but the shutter's not bad once it's focused.
Exactly. Once it's focused, then you can just kind of
that's good.
Wrap them off.
I don't really know where this thing falls. This thing falls like for power users who really want to have their phone last 2 days because 3300 is
that's
double.
Me.
Well, you know,
it's double normal battery almost.
It is, but it's also an LTE device, and what we
really
know
about
LTE is that it's very battery hungry.
Yeah.
And so maybe this, instead of requiring you to charge with heavy LTE usage in 7 to 8 hours, it gets you through the day. And that's very significant.
I mean, we know that LTE is just going to continue to require more power as LTE gets faster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't, I mean, I definitely like this phone. Like I said, I don't, there's nothing to really knock on the phone. It's sound. It's got a good back. I like the feeling on the back.
Yeah, the Kevlar backing's
it's
nice.
It's got good buttons,
I really
too.
Like the back. Yeah.
The buttons are good. They're mm-hmm. they're nice clicky buttons that really sort of, the camera button's got this nice finish to it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I will say one thing I miss in this Droid, the Droid 4, from I think it was the Droid 2. I had the original one, so I didn't have any of this stuff. But the Droid 2 almost had like a switchblade feel to it. When you opened it, it was like, it had this like kind of twist
like
switchblade-y feel to it. And this one just kind of slides and locks. I don't know. It's the little things. I don't know. You know, it's kind
of
like when you had a flip phone and you go, hello. You know, it's the little things
that
are a lot of fun.
Like the 90s are
calling back.
Yeah. Well, cool. Motorola, definitely. I like those two phones.
I really like the Max. I don't know. There's something about this that I really like.
And Thank you.
You know, a lot of you out there know I'm not a big fan of... Jason wants to try the 4. I'm not a big fan of Motorola products, but man, there's something about... You know, it's, again, that thing where when you put it in your hand, you start playing with it, you're like, you either have a really positive experience or not. Mm. And I have a positive experience with this phone. So...
This keyboard blows the other keyboard out of the wall.
Yeah, it's an improvement.
Yeah, the keyboards are definitely an improvement over
their individual keys.
Yeah, the individual keys are raised. Each key is sort of it's its own, you know, raised key. So it's pretty good.
And it's backlit.
Can you get a tiger on that?
Yeah.
No release date on this as well.
Yeah, they're all no release date, no price. I think that is a pricing. I'm not sure, but. They're pretty hush-hush about it. So
yeah, you know, you kind of have an idea where pricing's going to be on this. Yeah. It's going to be around that $299, maybe $250 or $250. Well, it's an LTE device. That seems to be what they do with their premium LTE devices is $299.
Okay.
But who knows? Maybe they go a little lower in $249. I don't know if they've even done that yet. It's either $199 or $299. But
I mean, this is a great phone. I mean, it really is. This one, I like this one actually better than the Max.
Yeah, and if I had to choose, I'd probably choose the Max.
I would choose the Max, too. I just like
this keyboard.
Bye, Max.
the reason I like this phone is the keyboard. The keyboard on that, it is 150 million times better than that. That's an exact number.
Yeah.
Better than the Droid 3 keyboard.
That's very scientific.
I really think that keyboard makes a brand new phone. Like, if you were to put that keyboard on the Droid 3, you could sell it as a brand new phone to me. Like, it is that cool.
Well, I know your cohort at Hack 5, Darren Kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
He has to have the keyboard. He's told me many times. It's the type of thing... That enables a hacker to do hackery things.
Exactly.
Sometimes.
He has a note right now, though.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. He was hanging out with the Samsung.
This is a while ago.
He still has the note.
Yeah, so
that's it. That's his main phone is the note. It's this giant tablet phone that he uses.
Yeah, the Galaxy Note. We had that on last time, I believe.
Yeah. With Tony's note.
Yeah. But actually, we might as well talk about AT&T because that was kind of part of their deal. Tony Wang here at Twit, one of the producers and editors, he got a Galaxy Note unlocked, so he's had it for a while. So I almost felt like it was old news.
It kind of was. But, and Samsung Note is everywhere here.
But
CES.
It really is. You go to the booth.
It's all over Vegas, actually.
Yeah, the buses, they are pimping the Note everywhere here.
Which the Note is a very, very... specifically, you know, a specific device. Like 5.3 inches is large for a phone. Like there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But it's really nice. I see Tony using it. I'm like, okay, I get it. That's actually pretty cool.
He got Wayne Brady and Greg Grunberg's autograph on his note.
Yeah, with a picture. Stylus. He like took a picture and then below it had them sign it with the stylus. It was kind of a nifty thing. If you go to the Samsung booth.
That's the future of autographs, apparently.
Yeah, if you go to the Samsung booth, one of their big thing, they have this huge, their booth is like a spaceship. It's gigantic,
that's
by
awesome.
The way.
I felt
but
like
they have this whole, like a third of the space is dedicated to the Galaxy Note, and it's all these artists that are using it to do their caricatures.
Artists,
they're just
sketchy,
everywhere.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
They're actually printing on t-shirts too.
Oh really?
Yeah,
all that stuff.
The caricatures. Wow.
That's
okay.
cool.
Very cool.
So the Galaxy Note, very impressive. We've talked about it before. The Samsung Galaxy S2 Skyrocket HD coming to AT&T.
So I mean, the big thing about all of these phones, of course, is that it's sort of taking advantage of AT&T's LTE network.
Yeah.
Which we should say we haven't really experienced it yet because we live in the booth.
Yeah, it's not really rolled out to many markets right now.
But yeah, you know, and the Galaxy Note, from what I understand, I have to double check on this, but I hear the LTE version of the Galaxy Note is a slightly different chipset than the non-LTE Galaxy Note.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
See.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So AT&T basically at the beginning of the week, it seems like old, you know, so
like
long ago.
Ago
when all this came out, but they announced
so
just a 6 LTE devices, right? So the Galaxy Note, the Galaxy S2 Skyrocket HD, acronym here, the Exhilarate, Samsung Exhilarate, 80% recycled post-consumer 4-inch Super AMOLED touchscreen, $50 on contract. Available in the coming months, so that's their green phone.
Yeah.
Why don't they just make all their phones green? Seriously.
Yeah.
Why don't? I mean, if you can do it, and it's obviously inexpensive because it's a low-cost phone.
Because you can't get the a 5.3-inch note, the bigger screen? I don't know. I don't understand it.
Well, maybe they'll get there someday.
Maybe.
Pantech Element. Pantech's just one of those manufacturers that I'm not very familiar with.
Yeah, they came up to the stage earlier today, and I didn't get a really...
They used to be a white label.
Very much.
Yeah. I feel like, they're kind of coming... They're kind of becoming more legit in the U.S., it seems.
Well, because HTC did it, so they're going to try to do it.
Yeah. Pantech first started out in the U.S., AT&T, and they usually did, like, messaging phones.
Mm. Okay.
You know, very simple, like, you know, free phones that you get with the contract, really simple, basic phones. It's only been recently where they started making, Android's, you know, a very good platform to start doing the smartphone thing in. And they came up with, like, the crossover, so very basic Android smartphones. And this is sort of their first time, okay, we're going to... get sort of a better Android experience, an LTE tablet. It's their first ever LTE tablet.
Oh, right. Which one is that?
It's the Pantech Element is the LTE Android tablet.
Oh, that
the
is, Burst oh, that is
the budget-friendly
okay.
one. So okay. they're really trying to, you know, say, hey, you know, we're here to notice us. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good thing.
Have you had a whole any experience, like, with their particular devices, like build quality, like... Are they comparable? Like, I know that Pantech had a phone in Verizon when I went in there for the Galaxy Nexus, and I think I picked it up and played with it, and I wasn't too impressed with that one, but maybe these are better. I don't know.
The industrial design, I think, is definitely that. They feel good in the hand.
Yeah.
For the cheaper products, they do tend to feel a little bit plasticky and cheap, which I think... You know, it's budget.
You're right,
budget
par for the course.
Absolutely. I don't think their track record really speaks to what they're doing here at the show. I think they're trying to reinvent their image. I think the steps they're taking to reinvent their image are actually really, really good steps.
Yeah.
Especially with what they have here at the show, is they're just solid devices.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know any of the key features off the top of my head, but they're definitely, like you said, I think the build quality is good.
It's good.
Pantech Burst LTE, less than $50, available January 22nd.
Isn't it amazing we're getting LTE 4G devices for under $50 bucks?
Is the question LTE Verizon or LTE AT&T?
AT&T.
It's all AT&T.
Well, AT&T's got two markets now, in New York and San Francisco. Or no, Houston and San Francisco.
It's very limited. It's like it's not the whole country at all by any means.
No, they're just starting to get that off the ground. Maybe that's why it's so inexpensive. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Sony Xperia Ion, Android 2.3. Yes.
That's a cool device.
Oh, okay.
Yep. It looks really good, and it's different. The Ion's got this kind of curved, polished back, and it's cool. I didn't really get a chance to play hands-on with it, but it's definitely something to look for.
Cool.
I think that's going to be on our next product show.
Working on it.
Yep. this is working Nicole's on PR it. Speak. I'm working on it.
Working on it.
I think I might know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Okay, well, then moving away from AT&T, we've got a few other phones here. This was actually news as of yesterday, and I got a little bit of time with the Lenovo K800. It's the first Android phone with the Intel Medfield chip, which... in and of itself, to me, doesn't say a whole lot. I saw it, and I didn't realize until afterwards exactly what it was. And then I was like, oh, so that's what I was playing with. But it has this kind of etched backing that just kind of felt a little strange in my hand. But I think it's more a kind of a prototype phone, and it may or may not get released at some point. It will run a heavily skinned version of Android 4, though what we saw was an Android 4. They had a very unique skin, actually, with the phone. And, I mean, as far as kind of the performance of the processor, I mean, I was skipping through it. It seemed fine.
It was okay.
How much can you really tell by just, like, switching home screens pulling up the app drawer and stuff like that?
I don't think there's anything from those kind of phones. It's like, this is cool, but I'd like to see an actual sort of production phone, because I really think what we're going to see in a tech demo is you know, vastly different than what we'll see in a real product.
Sure.
Well, and it's going to release in China the first half of this year, and when I talked to them, they had no plans for for any U.S. release.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, at least for the phones that they were displaying.
Yeah.
Well, from what I...
China Mobile?
Maybe.
What's that?
I don't know exactly, but yeah.
Maybe you would know more about this than I do, but it's, you know, I think the hurdle that people are kind of talking about with this is, okay, it's an Intel powered. How do developers, like, as a developer, does that give you pause?
Yes.
And explain why.
Oh, sorry.
No. No, why does it give you pause?
So when you're writing standard Android apps, no, not at all. Keep writing them. Like, you know, they'll work. If they're in the Android market, they'll work just fine. Because then it becomes a question of how well they implement Dalvik and stuff like that. That's the machine, the virtual machine that lies underneath Android and processes the code. From a Java perspective, and that's 99.9% of the apps, no, there's no pause whatsoever. For what they call NDK, or the Native Development Kit, that's when you're writing C code to run on bare metal, or as close to bare metal as you can get, which is the processor itself.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's a different instruction set. So in theory, it should work just fine, but that's a theory. So yes, they have to conform to the ARM architecture that they're using, but it's a new processor. Things will break.
The incompatibilities.
Yeah, there could be incompatibilities, and there's nothing a developer is going to be able to do to diagnose and
fix
that.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you know, it always ends up back at the word that probably gets overused at this point, but the fragmentation, you know, issue. Yeah. Which, I mean, it kind of reminds me of the fact that there are games in the Android market that you can only play on Tegra 2 devices.
Yes, and
I mean,
that's the NDK stuff, because games require C code to run, and when you have different processor architectures, you have to tailor your code to different processor architectures when you're dealing with the NDK, because you're not running on the Android VM, right? You're not leaving to an interpreter. You're leaving it to run on physical hardware.
On hardware.
Yeah, it's a different thing. Like, 99.9% of developers will not be affected. Game developers do not fall in that category.
Okay.
It's people who want really high performance apps. So anytime, I mean, your tip calculator won't be affected, or you know, your launchers. That's another good example. Launchers, 50-50, right? Mm-hmm. So launchers with ridiculous animation probably affected.
Sure.
It just depends on how they write it.
And that's actually unfortunate, because we use our launchers all the time.
Yeah. Yes. Well, if you use a launcher that's written in C, then it could possibly be affected. However, most of them are written in Java.
Right. Okay. Okay, interesting. I knew you'd know more about that, so thank you.
We got one more phone.
Yeah, so what do we have here?
The LG Spectrum, which I believe we have video. Now, you saw this one, right,
Nicole?
One?
Yeah, the LG Spectrum. Oh, sorry.
We don't have one. We've got video of the LG Spectrum. Sorry, Jason.
Oh, no, it's cool.
You're
I'll live.
4.5-inch screen introduced a couple days ago.
Yeah, so this is a 4G LTE device. And, you know, LG last year also came out, you know, guns a-blazing with another sort of 4G LTE phone. But this is sort of, you know, I think LG is trying to sort of come back from the disappointment of Flash, because the G2X,
the revolution
wasn't that great. And
the G2X,
G2X, I mean, it was good, but then it kind of didn't get any updates. So
this looks really nice.
This looks really nice, though.
HD, wait, IPS HD LCD.
The display on this is really, really good.
I mean, it's better than the last one.
True
HD
IPS display, like that's really good, and. They have a partner with ESPN HD, so you can get watch your football right there live as you're you're waiting for the bus or something. You can watch your football if you want to. It comes with a 1830 milliamp battery for extended battery life, 3.2 gigabytes.
I think we're looking at a TV.
Although that was a pretty fancy TV.
That was a
very
fancy
TV.
Is that the OLED one? Sorry. No, I'm done.
Again, it's ICS upgradable, which is,
you know, it's a feature.
Dead on arrival for Jason.
Dead on arrival. Come on. No, seriously.
We've got like 6 months before phones default to ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, but ice cream sandwich, they've had ice cream sandwich code for going on 2.5 months now. All you do is push compile, drop down 4.0, compile. It's not that big of a deal. Yes,
yeah, but they,
you
know, they
can't package your terrible stuff with it.
That's
but
exactly
stop
it.
Doing
exactly
that. All right,
what's
I'm done.
Happening?
Yeah, that's and that's exactly.
Oh, so I misspoke. It's a 4 gigabyte internal storage. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so it's $199.99.
Did you get to hold it? Actually, was it heavy, light?
It was pretty good. We'll have it tomorrow for before you buy.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh,
tease.
Nice.
But yeah, it's very good. It feels good in hand.
All right.
Awesome. Yep. And did we miss any on the phones
front? No,
I think
no,
we got it, because you already talked about the Polaroid.
I did not talk about the Polaroid, but because it's not really a phone, it is a smart camera, the Polaroid SC1630. I went over to the booth today to take a look at it.
It looks
Polaroid,
really
right?
Interesting.
Well, actually, it feels kind of cheap.
Does kind of look cheap.
And the strange thing about it is that it actually has the Android Marketplace on the phone. On the camera. So, Chad, there's a couple of slides there of the actual device, and
so it's running Android.
Watching,
yeah.
But it's a
but it's like
camera.
A
Yeah. It's like a Froyo. Isn't it like a pretty old...
Somebody did this before, too. This isn't the first time we've phone seen a in camera it? With a phone.
No, there's no there's phone, no phone in it.
I see.
Do you see what I mean?
They're just using Android
and then
as...
And they're throwing apps on it. So it's sort of, so this is where I'm not quite sure. In a lot of articles that I've read, people are really unsure of why this. So this
is it's a camera plus.
So this is what this is what I'm thinking. Like, I think if you take, you can use it as a sort of a camera with all the apps, the camera apps on it, right? Fill it up with all your Instagram, your hipstagram, your hipstery, I don't know, lens filter. Apps just use the camera to take photos of those.
But
I don't know.
Actual camera itself, I know it's a 16 megapixel camera. I don't know, the shutter speed wasn't that great. The at least what I saw on the screen, images weren't that great. Huh. I don't think I'm a horrible photographer. It was okay. It was kind of weird. No one was there at the booth, and they don't have Lady Gaga backing it like she did last year with.
It doesn't have a phone
device
in it, but it does have like a radio, like a 3G type,
so
like
does
a GSM radio.
Oh, I said
right.
I
mean, true.
So you can now upload your pictures and your terrible pictures to Flickr. No,
it's Wi-Fi.
I know. Mick Kinley Tandor's Polaroid is desperate for relativity to be relevant.
I mean, it's a cool idea. It's a terrible implementation.
It was just strange. I heard about it. I had to go over there, see it for myself.
It looks kind of cool, though.
I think that's true, though. Polaroid is grasping
at straws. I thought it was
going to
be cool, but then when I played around with it, it ended up not.
It's a mini tablet, essentially, is what it is.
Media.
So
with
tiny.
Terrible optics. It's a camera first, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe they save the money that they spend on developing, you know, cramming Android into the camera and focus that more into the camera itself, because it just seems out of place, I guess. But then again, it's extra functionality for a camera.
Yeah.
I thought we were here. That was the email that I saw.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't have that.
Okay, well, we're just going to take a quick break before we go into talking about TVs. There's a lot of them out there, and a lot of you out there. Boy, we saved it for the end, because I know a lot of our viewers and listeners wanted us to talk about Google TV. Now we're getting there. But before that, we'd like to thank our second sponsor, Gazelle. As you know, gazelle.com. You go in there, if you've got a device in your garage, you don't really need it anymore, and you're thinking, what can I get for this? Well, go ahead and check it out. Lots of devices and a lot of new Android devices out there, like the Droid Bionic. Do you want to trade up? See how much you can get for that. iPhone 4s. I don't know why you'd want to trade your Samsung Galaxy S2, but you could. The Canon PowerShot G1. Some of those are just a few of the examples.
You could trade in the Droid Razr for the Droid Razr Max.
Oh.
There you go.
There you go.
Recoup some cost.
Boom.
Oh. That now you're making. Well, I don't have a Droid Razr, but I can't part with my Samsung.
I might just get a Droid Razr and then do that.
The sure thing about Gazelle is that they can send you the box. You don't have to do anything, and then you just put all your devices. The more that you have with your device, the more components that you have still with your older device, the more that you'll get back. You can select any kind of payment method, PayPal, check, or Amazon, Walmart gift card, whatever. You can even ask Gazelle to donate the value of your device to charity if you really, really didn't. And say maybe you're thinking, oh, that's not that much. Let's, you know, have a tax write-off with that.
There you go.
So lots of different devices on Gazelle.com. Tablets, laptops, MP3 players, cell phones, lots and lots and lots of things. And really, you just got to go to gazelle.com. Have you done that yet, Jason? I thought you were going to.
No, I absolutely have. I did this a little while back, but I had, I can't remember if we talked about it on the show. I had one of those video cameras that recorded to like mini DVD or whatever. And
mini DVD.
I totally, this is the kind of thing that I couldn't sell on Craigslist if I wanted to. And they totally gave me like $45 for it. And I was like, are you kidding me? To do nothing but send you this thing that I was getting ready to throw away?
I cleaned out my closet.
With Gazelle?
Oh, yeah. I went and found all my old laptops and old iPods and old things. You know, my old cameras and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I absolutely cleaned out my closet.
Yeah. The thing is, they make it really easy. That's kind of the thing about this. Sometimes I do not want to go through, you know, the selling on eBay dance. You know, make the posting, answer the millions of questions. manage the bids, answer and, questions, all that kind of stuff.
You might get more money if you go on eBay.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Time is money. Like, exactly. You know, you spend all your time just waiting.
And same with Craigslist. You know, you're going to get the Craigslist flakes. It's like, all I really want to do is get rid of this and get some money for it. Gazelle just kind of gives you the box. They make it really easy. So that's kind of the benefit of it.
Absolutely. For sure.
My husband Tom just sold his MacBook Pro. And, you know, by law, half of what he sells is mine.
Yay! You win!
I win!
You win when Tom gazelles.
I love Gazelle. Gazelle.com. Don't just sell it. Gazelle it. Thank you, Gazelle. They're so great, those guys at Gazelle. And we might actually see some of them later today.
Excellent. All right, let's move on to the last topic. And this was a hot topic. So earlier I said there really seems to be a couple of big themes here. Tablet, like in the Android space. Mm-hmm. Android tablets was definitely one of them. I feel like I saw so much. We already talked about a lot of that stuff. Google TVs or smart TVs,
yeah,
as they're calling
them. It's the buzzword of the show.
It really is.
So even an LG. Okay, the Google TV displays are there. At the LG booth is gorgeous. So many things going on there. Love. And
that big 3D,
the 3D
wall
TV.
Thing.
It's not our show, but that 55 OLED TV. Oh, my Lord. Yeah. Loved it. Okay.
Very cool.
So now one section is LG Smart TV with their LG apps, their skins. And then the other section of the same booth is the LG Google TV. Mm-hmm. Experience. And I was listening to the rep from Google at the booth say, yeah, that's their apps, that's their smart TV, that's not what we had over at Google TV. Did you see both sides?
No.
Oh.
I'm suddenly realizing I didn't see
both sides.
And then
it was interesting because it was not obvious. When I was over at Samsung, I was thinking, oh, Google TV, let me look at it. And they kept smart TV.
They would not even mention the G word.
You don't mention G word.
The G word.
Well, hold on. Are they Google TVs or are they smart TVs?
They're smart TVs.
Yeah.
Samsung.
So I saw Google TVs. There's three Google TVs I saw on the show floor.
LG,
yeah. And then I saw
Lenovo.
Yes, Lenovo. And then the other ones. Panasonic? No, maybe. There's tons of brands. I can't remember which one it is.
they all had them.
You know, they all had various variations on them. But
can we have some video from the LG Smart TV?
Yeah, I definitely captured video because I was there this morning. I like froze in my tracks as you were saying that because I was like, oh my God, was I looking at the smart TVs and not the Google TV?
Well, which one?
But no,
were
I was at the with? I was in the Google TV.
Yeah,
well,
okay.
Now this is.
Oh, this is Lenovo. Okay, we're looking at
this
Lenovo.
This is Lenovo.
Right
this
now.
Is different.
Oh, and those are those phones that you were just talking about earlier. That's okay. I think it's part of the whole package.
Yeah, it's part of the whole package. The play whatever you have and we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, now we're back to LG and the really thin.
There should be something
look
in
how
their
skinny
LG
it is.
Smart
it's so
TV.
Skinny.
I think it's you.
I mean, it's all Android. It's the Android 3.1. build of Google TV.
This isn't it. It's the OLED TV.
That's still really hot, though.
Yeah, no, they were pretty fantastic.
Let's go back to the video. It's pretty.
Okay, here's the Lenovo. Before we go to LG, this is Lenovo, and here are some of the.
So the Lenovo is very interesting because it runs Ice Cream Sandwich.
Yes.
Yep. It's not like a it's actually Ice Cream Sandwich.
It is ICS TV.
Yes.
Okay, because I was confused when I was looking at it because I couldn't tell the difference between the ICS and the Honeycomb.
Yeah.
It's an ice cream sandwich TV. Have you seen any TV manufacturers doing this other than Lenovo? This is the first time that I've noticed taking Android, not Google TV, but taking an Android build.
I don't know why they would be doing that, but sure.
Honestly, you should see this. I was really impressed.
You can use
cool.
the phone.
Absolutely.
As kind of a remote
I mean, I'm sure
kind of
it would be cool. I'm not. I mean, the reason Android isn't on a TV is because Android requires touch. So
it was very interesting because they had this remote. It had a touch pad on the remote.
That's why Google TV was invented
weird.
To solve that problem.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, Chad. I don't know if you have a video that I have. The TV itself has face recognition as well, so it locks so that. The guy giving me the demo said, it's too bad we can't show you, but the guy giving me the demo said, this is very important, so you don't want your children buying apps on the TV and you know, buying lots of, like, expensive apps.
So it's a face lock type thing.
So literally, you know, he had me stand in front of the camera, and then I did, and so did not recognize. And then he came and sat down, and then it opened the app.
That's a clever way to do that. I like that.
And then he was doing voice recognition samples with the microphone.
That's cool.
And then kind of swiping on the remote itself to go left and right on
yes.
the screen.
I like that a lot.
So they just moved the touch interface. That's a cool way to do it. No, now, that definitely solves the problem.
Well, and so the video that I made, it sounds like we don't have it, but the LG Smart TV, the Google TV, was what really impressed me today. Mm-hmm. And the reason being, it's such a simple thing, but once I saw it, I was like, okay, this is how you have to do it. They have the Google TV overlay, which was, impressive. It was kind of their own kind of modified version of it and whatever. But it's the control of it that always seems to be the sticky part, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to have to go click, 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 click to select the thing that you're selected on a TV. You don't want to operate your TV like that necessarily. Their remote works like a Wiimote, a Nintendo Wiimote. So you've got your interface on the screen.
The
LG one.
LG one, okay.
You've got your interface, your Google TV interface, and the remote is literally your pointer. So you just kind of go... And you go like that, and you've got a little hand on the monitor that goes across. It's like the most intuitive way to do that, I think. I don't know.
Okay.
I was watching him doing it, and it's just so much better. I mean, if all you have to do is use the remote that you already have to go,
bad. No, that's not bad at all. I like that.
Versus like going on the little control pad
thumb, click.
Like, I don't know. I was really impressed with that, and once I saw that, I was like, okay, they all need to do this. This is the way that you do it.
Yeah.
This is the way that you should do it.
That's cool.
Samsung didn't really spend a whole lot of time with the Samsung Smart TVs.
I just kind
of
watched. I walked in there. I had to go in there. It felt like it was my country because I love Samsung so much. So I was just kind of like, oh, how
it
nice.
It kind of feels
I
like
love.
They built a giant building within a building.
You think?
It's huge.
Yeah, it is
pretty
huge.
Big.
And they're really touting their smart TVs there. Yeah. As we were talking before.
It's almost like LG and Samsung. They're clearly going after each other. They have like smart TVs.
Yeah.
They both have voice control. They both have the gesture control. Very similar services on both sides.
They were definitely pimping their apps, too, and just,
international
apps versus...
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The international side and then just, the other side, which is like Netflix and...
There's been some really good polish on there. On Samsung in particular, I think their stock apps are really starting to become very polished, which is a huge departure from what we saw last year when it was like, wow, these stock apps are totally an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, how do we feel about the sheer fact that Google TV, in all these cases, is built into the TV itself? I don't mind it.
I'm happy.
So a lot of people
it.
Seem to have a problem with that because they think it's not going to get the upgrade. It's not going to.
Totally possible.
I think that's
like
something to consider. It's totally something to consider. Like, what if the display technology, gets old? Right? That's totally a possibility,
absolutely. I think we've had the same problem for a long time. You keep your TV way longer than you keep your set-top box.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
But at the same time, your TV just gets as old, you just care less. Some people, not all people. I just know that my TV is my TV as long as it keeps displaying pixels.
Right.
I don't need to replace it.
I'm just saying, usually what happens is that you swap out your set-top box versus
like a DVD
the TV.
Player. Versus,
yeah.
I mean,
depends on how you think about it.
Yeah, there's always
<don't>,
that argument. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
So
I mean, I'd rather
have
a TV with it than without it, though. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I would say it's great. Just have an option for people who have their own TVs already, a little box or something.
I think an add-in box is more universal, but
yeah,
I definitely
universal.
Don't mind having the TV.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
I'm not going to not buy or buy a TV because
just
of it.
Because it has it.
And I suppose we'll know in the next couple of years. If we're going to run into the same issue with Google TV that we run into with phones,
Well, that's what I was about to say. Is the big F going to come into play?
Yeah.
Big F.
Fragmentation.
Oh, fragmentation. I'm like,
the other big F.
I
the other one. The
F
other
F
one.
Is. What is this F?
Wow, we almost met that, didn't we?
But yeah, so TVs, obviously they were a big deal, and I find myself walking away from the CES. Even more charge to get in on the Google TV thing.
Oh,
I really want to get it because
really
the more I saw here, the more I was like, okay, that is really cool.
It is really cool, and it's too bad that our own colleague Ron Richards isn't here because
I know
he'd be drooling.
Yeah,
right now.
He'd have almost
really
too
cool.
much to say about it.
Yeah.
Like the 3.1 Google TVs are really really cool.
I know,
and the boxes really are starting to get really really good really fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anything else you guys are going to see or on the floor or hoping to see on the floor? Again, I actually want to keep looking out for more Android peripherals, accessories, or whatever.
Yeah, or things that are a little bit different. SiriusXM has something called the Lynx, and that's one of those things. There's the Android that we're used to talking about and seeing, like phones, tablets, Google TV, stuff like that. And then there's the Android that's just a device that happens to be running on Android, that they've chosen Android.
The Samsung or Sony? Sony watches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's like Android underneath. It's not necessarily like you're using it in the same way. You know, you don't have the same expectations of an Android in one of these types of devices as another one. You just kind of have to remove the fact that it's the Android, you know, that you have on your phone, and just realize that, no, it's just a great way to operate this particular piece of hardware. And this SiriusXM Lynx is, there's not a whole lot to say about it. It's a portable radio system, but it happens to be running on Android. And you would never even know it if you didn't see this little error message, which I didn't include in the doc, so sorry about that. But there's a little error message that pops up, and it's the Android error.
Forced close.
I mean, that's the beauty of Android, right? Like, it doesn't have to be the things that we're used to seeing. It can be just a great way to create other things, on top of it, just based on how powerful it is. So,
I don't know if we're mentioning it or if we're going to mention it. The Galaxy Nexus that we mentioned is going to Sprint.
Yes, that was. That
the
was
one with the accidental announcement. With an ad.
Yeah, so right now. But the thing is, okay, it's good that it's coming from Sprint, but it won't have LTE. It's not going to have WiMAX.
No, it's WiMAX.
Does it have WiMAX?
I would assume it has WiMAX.
All right, let me take a look at it.
Because there's no way they would bring it to Sprint without a WiMAX modem. And if they do, okay, then you just don't have fast. I mean, it would be like a phone from 2 years ago.
I know.
Yeah. And then today we talked about a little bit on TNT. On Live is going to be preloaded on all Google TVs, which has some pretty cool kind of potential implications.
That's
down the line to
awesome.
Have On Live just baked into your Google TV. Okay, so while we're talking about Google TV, before we end, because we're probably getting pretty close to the end of the show, let's go back in time. Bring Eric Schmidt saying 6 months from now, Google TV is going to be on how many of the new TV sets of something like 60 or 70%, and everybody
60%,
something like that, and everybody, you know, most people thought he was crazy because he says crazy stuff. What do we think now? Like,
he's
he's still kind of crazy. I mean, I guess
there's
that's
no way. I mean, this is a Consumer Electronics Show. Yeah. We're supposed to be seeing all the stuff
we're in
that's
a bubble.
Coming out. What?
We're in a bubble. Is
yes.
that what you mean?
Yes. We're in a bubble. I don't think I understand.
Do you get that?
Yeah,
we're in a tech bubble.
We're in the Consumer Electronics Show bubble where everything is not necessarily everything.
Yes.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I just learned that the Samsung Galaxy Nexus for Sprint will have LTE. It's their first inaugural entry into the LTE network.
Okay. Cool.
LTE specification.
Oh, well, that's a good phone.
So it's going to have less coverage than Verizon. Cool.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know what their map looks like. I know they've been building their network.
But yeah, it's going to be LTE.
But no, even in this bubble, going back to the TV thing, even in this bubble, I mean, you'd think we'd see more than two or three sets if that were truly the case.
Yeah.
Because I really thought he had something. I really thought, you know, he went to Samsung and going, we'll pay you $1 billion. To put Google TV everywhere, and that just isn't the case here.
Yeah.
People in chat are saying, don't doubt the Schmidt.
Don't.
Okay.
You know what?
I don't doubt the Schmidt, don't doubt that Google TV appears to be a burgeoning force. Like, what I've seen here, I really like.
Yep.
And it really, I mean, why not? Why not build that into your TV sets? It's low to no cost to do so, right? It's Android.
Yeah, I mean, you could just, that's exactly what I thought, is they're just going to jam it everywhere.
Yeah, so I guess that remains to be seen. But I guess what I'm thinking is, walking away from CES, I feel like we're closer to that than I thought we would be. I thought that CES, we'd see a little bit of Google TV. I feel like there's a lot here.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
There's so much. Yeah. There's so much buzz about it.
Yeah.
So much talk
absolutely.
About
sure,
it.
But it's not 60%.
No. No, it's not 60%. You're right. But we'll see.
We'll see.
I think that's about it.
All right.
Do we have anything else?
Anything?
Does anyone want to do a song and dance?
Hello,
does anybody need hand sanitizers? I swear this is my lifesaver all week. Every time we touch a device, it's like,
oh yeah. No.
I did touch a ton. Do you want some?
Like bathing in it.
There you go. It's gonna smell like rubbing alcohol here before we know it. Jason Applebaum, thanks for taking time out of your ridiculously busy schedule here at CES to come on the show.
It's been crazy. CES, I can't believe it. It's today Wednesday?
Yeah, I know. It's a time warp. It is Wednesday.
It's not only a time warp. It's just like I got here on Monday, and I've been setting everything up, and it's like, whoosh. Mm-hmm. It's been fun.
Well, do you want to plug anything? You want to talk about what you're working on?
So we're working on a lot of stuff. and we came to CES with the intention of showing a bunch of stuff off, and things kind of get messed up when people's legal feelings get hurt. We still be maybe announcing something. Follow me on Twitter at Applebaum. Before the end of the week, I'm hoping to have awesome news.
Cool.
But yeah.
All right. Awesome. That's Applebaum.
Yeah, for the audio listeners. Yes.
There you go. Awesome. And Nicole, thanks again for coming on.
Thank God Nicole is on this.
Yeah, I know.
She has been working her butt off getting a ton of products up here on the stage.
All the Galaxy Tab.
All the stuff that we got here today. Thank you so much, Nicole.
Yeah. So what is all this work leading to? You've got
tomorrow.
Some cool stuff.
Stay tuned. Tune in at 1 p.m. Pacific. Right? Hopefully I got that right. 1 p.m. Pacific for our CES edition of Before You Buy. I know Before You Buy, we usually want to review the product. It's CES. We have like 5 minutes of product. It's not possible to do a full review of a product.
Yeah.
So very quick first looks of, we got the Nintendo Wii U.
Oh,
little
nice.
Demo of that. We have a demo of the HTC Titan 2, which is the new Windows phone. So lots of things going on.
Awesome. Nice. All right. And you're at Nicole on Twitter.
Yeah.
Awesome. And Eileen.
Hey. You know what? You can find me on Twitter at EileenTV or about.me/EileenRose.
All right. And I'm at RayGun01 on Twitter at about.me/JasonHowell. And that is it for this week from CES 2012. Thank you so much for tuning in, you guys. Leave us a voicemail for next week's show, which I believe, is it all feedback, the next episode?
Sure.
I think it is. We had it in the schedule. So send us questions because it's a short turnaround time. So let's just do all feedback. 347 show AAA. Email video mail to AAA@twit.tv. Twitter us at Android Show.
Twitter us, everybody.
At twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday, 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. Although I think next week we're doing it on Tuesday.
We're doing it on Tuesday morning so that you guys can give me a nice day off.
That's right. She deserves a day off. She's been working hard. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Have a fantastic week.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, thanks for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, dude.